If you've recovered from COVID-19 or unknowingly been exposed to it, you may have antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients. Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies. Visit Vitalant.org today.
This is Podco Media Networks.
It's the Innovation Podcast with Mark Reed Edwards and Garnett Harriman. Let's start the show.
Hi, it's Mark. We're back with Carmela Ray. Next time, we'll also chat with Boston University Innovation Fellow Moira Kelly, Michael Hoffman, founder and CEO at Gather Voices, and Jarrett C. Riddick, director of the U.S. Army's Vehicle Technology Directorate. That's what the next several weeks look like here on the Innovation Podcast. Plus, we have some very special things planned for the new year, so stay tuned. Let's get back to our chat with Carmela. In the first part, we learned the background of the Egg Fund. This time, we explore it more and how Egg Fund works.
People have spent a lot of time trying to figure out, you know, how to save for things like education or what have you. And, you know, really that planning process, that fiscal responsibility perspective starts or should start really early on. And you're essentially grabbing that customer as early as you could possibly grab him or her when they're literally thinking about, you know, how to have the first kid. And then your long-term product strategy, it sounds like, is to create more and more, or at least provide a portal, because some of these things you may not have to recreate. You may not have to do
that. That's right.
But create like maybe a one-stop shop for essentially smart financing tools for all things family.
That's right. It's a lot of options exist out there, but people are not being made aware, first of all, that there's a need to do it. People are just not aware. So if we get back into the macro idea, you know, and your desire, Garnett, to talk about some larger trends demographically, you know, yeah. If I just look at healthcare trends, the healthcare cost trends, you know, I read somewhere not that long ago that coinsurance can rise up to about 30%, so that the individual could be potentially responsible for 30% of their medical costs within about 5 years. Now, if you take that back for a second, I had a difficult pregnancy. Okay, so my bill was very high. But if you just go through a run-of-the-mill pregnancy, everything is fine, all good. Let's say it costs $30,000 to go into a hospital in a major metropolitan area like New York and have your baby. 30% of that is a lot of money for a family to come up with just 10 grand, poof, to have that baby. And that's without having any trouble. I challenge you that I'm pretty sure that most Americans who had that kind of bill presented to them with no issues conceiving or at the hospital, no extended stay, would have a problem paying that bill.
Oh, and you wouldn't be up for debate. I mean, have you seen you know, all this stuff about the hidden shame of the, like, American middle class, right? That, you know, if they get a bill for $400 or $500, they could end up in serious financial difficulties.
That's right.
I forget what the exact number is. I thought it was, like, as low as, like, $400 or something.
But, I think I heard the same thing, that it was $400. It's just terrible.
It's something really, really terrible. I mean, then low. And these are not, like, lower middle class people or quote, lower class or working class. These are, like, solidly middle-class people who are just, like, you know, struggling along, and they're presented with a, you know, a $400 or $500 bill, and it gets hairy for them. So a $10,000 bill for, you know, someone who's got lots of other concerns and who's gone through all of the emotional stress to begin with, that strikes me as, like, what you're doing is going to end up alleviating some great pains, you know, no pun intended, but great pains, emotional and financial, in the customer marketplace right now.
For me, this most human of things that people go through is a process that dehumanizes people, especially the woman.
Good one.
And what you're doing is at least alleviating some of that stress. The actual process is probably really stressful, but the how do you pay for it part is impossibly stressful, I would imagine.
It's all really stressful. It's also really stressful. And it's all happening at the same time. I'm not a doctor, so I can't relieve the medical stress. You know, I can't solve for that problem. But I can help at least the portion that they deal with on the finance side to be as stress-free as possible. So, you know, I talk to my customers all the time. They call me. And when we talk about the financing, like I have a question, it inevitably turns to what's going on with them medically. The two are tied together, you know, and so I am already an advocate for infertility rights, but it gives me so much satisfaction to feel that I've helped, you know, someone through this really tough spot in their life. And if that ends up also becoming a baby that I've helped, you know, create because like I got them the money to be able to undergo the treatment or to be able to access that surrogate or have the adoption, then I'm just so thrilled by that. I can't imagine a more worthy reason for waking up every morning.
Shameless plug. Be aware. You know, one of the best ways that Carmela Ray can share this story around your personal journey and Egg Fund's financial platform for helping, you know, thousands and if not tens of thousands of families in the future is to start your own podcast. That is the absolute right thing to do.
I had such a hard time, you know, I really want to do it. I so really want to, because I think there's so many interesting conversations to have. I think around, you know, not just the business of infertility. I think all of the business of being a woman. You know, there's all these cottage industries that have propped up to help you, like, be a woman, you know, monitor your period, you know, like all of this stuff. I mean, what does it mean?
Have you seen how many apps are out there now? The earliest one dates back to like 2013. That's already 6 years ago and, you know, has raised a ton of money. They're like Series B already. And, you know, this is period monitoring, fertility tracking, and a host of other things. But there's probably a dozen, you know, apps out there that do this. So it's a legitimate phenomenon. You know, it's a legitimate phenomenon. And then, you know, here you are basically saying, hey, that's great. Do all the tracking you want. But when the shit hits the fan, you know, and you really need to get, when you really need to get the job done, we're here for you. You know,
That's exactly the case. I don't really care how they get there. I don't care where they're getting it from. I'll help them. That's my bottom line. Awesome. It's like, I'm agnostic. You know, so that's how I felt I could help the most people. Like, again, we're talking about having that bird's eye view, the problem, like you could easily, like when I started this, and there were people who were the quote unquote smart people telling me I should start a concierge business so I could help people, you know, connect with the best clinics and I can should go this route. And I'm like, no. I mean, that's all well and good. But the real, real problem is people can't afford it.
Yeah.
And they can't get access to fair credit for it. You know, it's a huge problem.
A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can make a change. We need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
COVID-19 patients need your help.
If you've fully recovered from COVID-19
or unknowingly been exposed to it,
you may have the antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients recover.
Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies.
Visit Vitalant.org today to schedule an appointment to donate blood.
That's Vitalant.org. Help save lives and schedule your appointment at Vitalant.org.
You could help save lives.
This is an ode to the glass noodle. You may be glass only in name, but our love for you is crystal clear in every Bibigo Korean dumpling. Your tantalizing texture tickles the taste buds, and while you are see-through, the world can't help but see you. The glass noodle, one of many obsessively crafted ingredients in every plump and juicy Korean dumpling from Bibigo. Go handcrafted. Go Bibigo. Authentic Korean dumplings now in the freezer aisle.
I've been around a lot of businesses in the last 25 years, and I just love it's a very unique take on it, and it really cuts to the core. You know, we just talked about this, like, dozen or so companies out there doing different things around. In my very, very cursory research, I only saw one other company that was, you know, doing anything related to fintech and payments and, you know, around the financing of the challenge. So
that's right. very little innovation in the space. Very little innovation in the space. There's, companies that want to enter that extend consumer loans, and they just look at fertility like another medical loan, another vertical that they can extend their consumer loans into, but they're not really connected to the customer. They don't know the customer journey. They don't know the customer. They're not connected. We are looking to make it much more responsive to what this particular customer needs. It's not the same as cosmetic dentistry. You know what I mean? It's not the same process.
Right, right.
But they're treated the same way by lenders. So,
interesting. So let's talk a little bit more about what's in the news. We did a little bit of macro analysis. It's a legitimate trend, this tech space and legitimate players in the space.
Yeah.
There's only really one other company that I can think of, and I'm not going to give them any exposure on your podcast, that's doing anything interesting in fintech and payments and that sort of stuff. So there's probably a lot of room to grow. I'm curious whether you see any linkage between, this tech segment that's evolving around fertility tracking and the like, and some of the bigger problems in society, not only here in the U.S., but around the world. And I specifically mean I don't know what the exact demographic nomenclature is, but it's basically the state of a population when it's not zero growth, or it's basically when a population is not replacing itself.
Right.
Negative birth rate.
Negative growth.
Like. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been happening in Western Europe for years, and it's been happening in Japan for decades, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just starting to see the tip of the iceberg here. There are some articles recently where individual states were publishing essentially, census statements that they're not replacing themselves. And the state that I have in mind that I think, Carmela, you and I talked about recently was the state of Maine in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Issued a press release saying, holy shit, we're in negative growth mode for our state population. I suspect that's a trend. I suspect you're going to see a steady progress towards all 50 states, releasing demographic data, if not, press releases similar to that.
And absolutely. And what do we do about it? Do we encourage immigration? Not if the current administration stays in office. Yeah, I don't think so. So if we're going to discourage immigration, what do we do in the face of negative or stagnation population? What we should do is encourage. Well, there's lots of things that we should do. Number one, I think one of the biggest reasons why you're seeing people starting their families later, I can speak to myself as being that one of those people, is that there are not enough companies in the U.S. There's no real effort up until only very recently to create family-friendly policies at work. So, the understanding is if you step out of the job track for a few years to raise a kid, that you will likely have a really hard time finding a job. You certainly can't expect that your job will be there when you get back, and it'll be hard for you to re-enter the workforce. So there needs to
be... It is across the EU, and actually I think also in Canada, right? I mean, your job by law has to be there for you when you come back.
Right.
Wrong with this country.
But we don't have that.
I know we don't.
And further to that, you know the work ethic. I mean, you work those hours. I've worked those hours. We may not work those kind of hours right now because we're not spring chickens. But,
I thought for sure you were setting Mark up for his, ongoing accusation, which is I don't work enough,
That's your accusation of me, isn't it?
but you know what that is, right? That's me projecting.
Right, exactly.
From the macro perspective, you have, number one, we're set up for the perfect storm of a crisis, a population crisis. You have on one side immigration being discouraged, Okay. You have on the other side to the quote unquote natives or green card holders who are here, you have a working environment that discourages families. It literally discourages families, certainly for the women, also for the men. If a man is got a young family at home and wants to go home at a decent hour and not take that client to dinner because he has a baby waiting for him at home, guess what? I think many people agree with me that most companies would frown upon that, and he's not going to be fast-tracked, let's just put it that way, for promotion, okay? So you have a culture that is not family-friendly, which then forces people to put off having a family until they feel more secure financially to take the potential fallout from having a family. And this is especially true of women. So as they're waiting longer and they're getting married later, they're starting to have kids later, we're seeing that that is in direct contrast with the biology of the human being, which sets us up for a big problem because, as I said, there is evidence that shows that really you're a woman's fertility and a man has a fertility clock too, which is just starting to be understood. There's a biological clock that for women starts ticking really in their 20s, but really starts to become a critical factor in their mid to late 30s. And as I said, the average age of a woman's first child has steadily increased pretty drastically. I looked at a statistic, I think in 2014, the average age was 24 point something years old. And by 2017, it was about 26 and a half years old. That's a big change for an entire average to move 2 points in like 2 or 3 years. That's like a big, big, very drastic shift. So with a recession potentially coming on, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think that's going to encourage people to focus on family and lift their foot off the gas on their job or their career? I mean, I can't imagine that helps.
Yeah.
Encourage people.
Yeah, it definitely does not. Hey, we talked about macro stuff and some of the fascinating demographics around the world and some of those demographic chickens coming home to roost here in the U.S. And I know that you're taking a very, very analytic and entrepreneurial approach to what is essentially a very humane purpose to the business. And I love that dichotomy. I'm very curious, you putting on your entrepreneurial and analytical hat, how you define success for Egg Fund. What does success look like for Egg Fund?
A lot of baby pictures from families help.
Remember you talked about calculators? Are we going to get a baby calculator somewhere?
I think I want to do that. That's a great idea. I think I'm going to do that at one point. Yeah, I'm going to start counting how many babies we've had.
What a funny graphic, right? Like an iconically cute Gerber baby with a calculator in his or her hand, like just tallying up how many babies we got her done.
I would love that. I would love that. If I could say I've had a baby be born, every day, every hour of the day,
there
that would make me really, really, really happy. And if I create a brand that people trust to help them through that really important milestone, then I feel I will have more than served my purpose and Edgar would have been successful in spades.
33% of this podcast is like a world-renowned brand guru, right? That would be Mark Reed Edwards. So when it comes down to it, as you're building that brand, you should definitely tap into some of his vast expertise.
I would love that, Mark.
Yeah. It's a very important, I think it's innovative, but it's also very important on a human level. The ability for people who want to have children to have them. And I was fortunate that my wife and I had three children, and I feel really blessed. I'm not religious, so I don't say that in a religious way, but I feel really blessed to have these three wonderful human beings in my life.
Absolutely. And
the fact that we have a society that is organized around, your nose to the grindstone for, 20 years before you look back and think, boy, I really would like to have a child. And then, you run into these kinds of issues. And the fact that you're offering a helping hand to these people it's not just an innovation. To me, it's a very kind of kind thing to do. So I'm really impressed by it.
Thank you. I just don't feel that. Thank you for saying that. That's really, thank you for seeing that, both of you, because that's really the impetus behind it. We could talk about financials and analysis and all that, but really that's the impetus behind it, is that I talked to Garnett about this. I don't want to live in a world where only the wealthy can procreate.
Right.
And if we don't do something about it, that is what will happen. And having lived 20 years in an industry that worked with the top 1% of wealthiest people in the world, I can tell you from direct experience, you do not want these people being the only ones who procreate. Trust me on this.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that payoff. That was like all these super successful people, if they were to procreate just by themselves, it would be like one hell of a dystopia.
Yeah, seriously.
Hey, so this is my favorite part of the podcast. You know, I love hearing predictions from folks. So, and you can take this as seriously or as lightheartedly as you want, but can you give us one or two predictions that you see in either business or society or any parts of the world at large?
Ooh, I think about this stuff all the time.
There you go.
Oh, man, but like, which one do I want to touch upon?
Well, what's the future of baby making? What's the future of family building? How does that work?
I think that we're 10 years away from seeing CRISPR technology applied to fertility treatment, which I think will be really revolutionary. That's where they go in and they repair, or they take basically cells, different cells, and create the genetic material for an egg, for instance, from your own cells, so that you don't need a donor, or that they're going in and repairing genetic mutations. That we're a good ways away from that, but when that happens, that will revolutionize the fertility industry. Until that time, unfortunately, it seems like to me there'll be some efficiencies, but I don't see, like, the next big leap will be when CRISPR becomes more used in labs. I see the fertility industry only growing, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, because more people have become aware of it, more people are getting tested, more people are getting started later. So I think that the industry will continue to grow, and hopefully that will mean that prices will come down, but we'll see.
Well, that's a bold prediction. And I know that you're probably right. You're probably onto something.
I don't
very
know.
Big
we'll
here.
See. We'll see.
I'm
we'll
super see. Excited to have you back as you keep developing the business model and, you know, the overall purpose-built mission for the Egg Fund, and see,
I would love,
you know, sort
to
take
back.
Stock together. Yep. So our guest has been Carmela Ray, the founder and CEO of the Egg Fund, one of the most innovative fintech companies out there focusing on fertility and infertility, as well as creating transparency on the whole process for a new generation of family-minded people. Thank you so much, Carmela.
Thank you, Carmela.
Thank you, Garnett. Thank you, Mark, for having me. It's been a great conversation.
Thanks for joining Garnett and Mark on the Innovation Podcast. Visit theinnovationpodcast.co to subscribe and listen to other episodes.